So we're continuing our series, and it's called Jesus, Hope for Every Generation. And throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, God was pointing people to Jesus. Now, he wasn't calling him by the name Jesus, but he was pointing to somebody who would come, who would be everything that they needed. And so we've looked at Jesus as the seed, Jesus as the Judah king, Jesus as the prophet like Moses, and then we talked about King David and the everlasting king last week. And then today, we're going to talk about Jesus, the high priest. And we actually sung that line in the second song today. Jesus, the great high priest. And we're going to look at what that means and why we need a priest in our life. And you can open up in your Bibles to Genesis 14. We're going to talk about a man named Melchizedek. A man named Melchizedek. And it's a very hard name to pronounce. And I was thinking of this name the other week because I was going through a Chick-fil-A. And I was getting a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich. And so I put my order in and I had asked for some of that delicious Chick-fil-A sauce because it's so good. I ask for three every time I go. And now they ask you for your name so that when you get to the front, they can call you by your name. I said, that's a really good idea. So the woman says, hey, what is your name for the order? Well, my name is Bobby. She goes, okay, thank you, Bonnie. You can pull forward. And I was like, wait. I'm not pulling forward. I said my name is Bobby. Now, I have no problem with the name Bonnie. That's a great name. I know two Bonnies. They're wonderful people. But my name's Bobby. So why was I thinking of Melchizedek? As I was driving to get my delicious Chick-fil-A, I thought to myself, you know what I'm going to do to them next time? Because they got my name wrong? I'm going to find the weirdest names in the Bible I can. And that's going to be my name next time. And so I was going through some of these kings, and there's a guy named Pekahiah, and then there's a guy named Jehoahaz, and there's Melchizedek. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put them all together to be, that'll be my name. So next time I go to Chick-fil-A and she wants to know my name, I'm like, my name is Pekahiah, Jehoahaz, Melchizedek. Did you get that? So just a little payback. I encourage you to join with me if you want to find a strange name in the Bible and use it next time at Chick-fil-A. And just to remind you, if you want a Chick-fil-A sandwich today because I said it, you can't have one because it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. But let's talk about Melchizedek because he's in the Bible. And he's a really interesting character in the Bible because he shows up and then he disappears and then he shows up and then he disappears. And let's look at Genesis 14. And we're going to start in verse 14. And I got to tell you before we get into it, Abram, okay, who is the father of the Jewish nation, his name is Abram, not Abraham yet, has a nephew, and this nephew's name is Lot. Lot lives in an area where there's a war between a bunch of kingdoms. There's these northern kings and these southern kings, and they're fighting, and Lot is a prisoner of battle, and he gets taken away. And that's what's going on here as we pick up in Genesis 14, verse 14. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went to pursue them as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. And he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Verse 17, after Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh. That is the king's valley. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. This is where Melchizedek first appears in the Bible, and this is the first time that the word priest is used in the Bible. And Abram goes to recover his nephew Lot, and he brings his nephew back along with the goods and possessions and everybody else who had been taken captive. And on his return, he's traveling toward a town, by a town, and this guy comes out named Melchizedek. And he blesses Abram, and Abram says, thank you for that blessing. Here's 10% of everything that I have. That's just odd. I don't walk around Warminster and Southampton when people say something to me, I go, hey, you know, that was great. Here's a 20 spot. Hey, thanks for that blessing. You know what? Here's 100. But that's kind of what's going on. Abram goes off to battle and he comes back. And this guy leaves his town. He's the king of Salem and he's a priest. And he blesses Abram. And Abram gives him a 10%. And then Melchizedek disappears from the Bible. It's such an odd story in Genesis 14. This is probably happening around the year 2100 BC, okay? It's not entirely accurate, but it's in the ballpark. Now let's turn to Psalm 110. Here's this guy, this king, this priest, who blesses Abram, takes 10% of everything that he has, and then disappears from the scriptures. And in Psalm 110, there's a man named King David. We talked about him two weeks ago. And David writes a song. And in Psalm 110, in verse 4, King David writes these lyrics to the song. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This is probably written around 1000 BC. So 1100 years later, David writes a song about this random guy in Genesis who took 10% of everything Abram had. That is just a strange song lyric. Because Psalm 110 is really like a battle psalm. It's a psalm about a king and war and defeating enemies. And right in the middle, he slips in this line about a strange man from Genesis 14. And he says, hey, you're in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I know you've heard strange lyrics, right? You've listened to music, and I know a lot of you, probably some of you that are older, even me, I was listening to the radio, and this line came on. I'm like, what are kids listening to today? Like, this line makes no sense. And this was the line. It sticks with me. It's this. My taste in music is your face. I was dumbfounded. I had to ponder what this line meant to me. And I said, well, maybe he wants to lick that person's face. Maybe it's an insult. You know, like you ever insult someone? You're like, hey, your face, right? So I don't know. But I had to go back and I had to look up the lyrics online just to figure out what it meant. I'm still confused, but I think it's a song about a girl that he likes. I don't know. So in 2100 BC, there's a man named Melchizedek, and he has this interaction with Abram. 1100 years later, King David writes a song about this guy. And then he disappears from the Bible again. This is like an international man of mystery, this Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Today we're talking about Jesus, the priest, Jesus, hope for every generation. And in Hebrews 6, verse 20, Melchizedek appears again. But now we begin to understand. We begin to understand what God was doing in Genesis. We begin to understand what David was singing about in Psalm 110. And in Hebrews 6, verse 20, it says this, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He's talking about entering the sanctuary of God. He, meaning Jesus, has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a high priest, just like Melchizedek in Genesis 14, just like the one that David sung about in Psalm 110. And Jesus is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews is written around 64 to 68 AD. And so from the time that Melchizedek first appears, it's 2,160 some years later, so we actually find out the importance of this random story in the beginning of Genesis. And what we find is that Melchizedek in Genesis was a foreshadowing, was a prototype for Jesus, the high priest. And so why did the author of Hebrews need to write this to the audience of Hebrews? They're going through a lot. And I told you this is probably written in Hebrews between 64 and 68 A.D. And at this time, there was a crazy man named Nero who was emperor of Rome. Well, that guy was a whack job. He was nuts. It was said as the city of Rome burned, he watched the fire. And he played music as it burned. And then he blamed it on Christians. And so Christians began to experience some persecution. And then later on, in around 66 A.D., Jewish people in the area of Judea began to revolt against the Roman Empire. And so Nero sent the Roman army to destroy those rebellious people. And those rebellious people were taken care of. And then eventually in 70 A.D., the temple in Jerusalem, the most important building in Jewish faith, is destroyed. And this is the setting in which the book of Hebrews is written. It's a very unsettling time. In fact, it's so unsettling that the people in Hebrews are having a crisis of faith. They're having a crisis of faith. And into that crisis of faith, the author of Hebrews writes, Jesus is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. In the order of Melchizedek. In fact, their struggle was so real that some of the Christians, and you see this in Hebrews chapter 6, that they were beginning to waver in their faith. They were beginning to stop living out their faith. And because what they were going through, they didn't know if they could continue in the ways of Jesus. And so the author of Hebrews is writing to these people struggling with their faith who are ready to abandon God. And he writes to clear up some misunderstandings. And one of those misunderstandings has to do with Jesus, the high priest, and the order of Melchizedek. In fact, the misunderstanding is forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about my sin, really. As I was preparing this message, I went to the gym on Friday, and I was just asking God, like, God, could you just confirm this message, and what do you want to say? And I was like, God, what do you want to say to all these people here? Because they're such sinners. Sorry, I said that out loud. No, actually, you know what God said to me as I was working out in the gym? He said, Bobby, this message is actually for you. So today it's not so much me preaching God's word to you, but it's you sitting in and listening to what God and I talked about as I worked out in the gym on Friday. And what God told me was that I was a sinner. And I realized that because I'm a dad, and it's hard being a dad. And over the week, I wasn't a very good dad. In fact, I think I was a sinful dad. So I went to the gym on Friday, and I was very frustrated. And I was really disappointed in myself. And I began to think of all the ways that I could be a better dad. You ever done that, dads? No, I see none of you shaking your head. Yeah, I'm the only one that's a bad dad. I know. And I was thinking about being a dad and how tough it is. And how the next week, meaning starting this week, I was going to be a better dad. Because I wasn't going to do this, and I wasn't going to do that, and I was going to do this, and I was going to do that. And then I began to think back through Hebrews chapter 7. And I want to read to you verse 11. Because I'm a sinner, and it says this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still a need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. There's a lot we got to walk through here. But I was at the gym on Friday, and I was thinking about my sin and how I wanted to be a better dad. I wanted to be perfect, right? I mean, who wakes up and says they want to be a crappy dad? I've never done that. I might end up being one that day, but I never wake up and say I want to be one. See, I want to be the perfect dad. But I'm a sinful dad. And if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, what does that mean? You see, in the Bible, there was another group of priests, not in the order of Melchizedek. They were in the order of Aaron. Do you remember Moses? We talked about him a few weeks ago. He led the Israelites out of Egypt by the power of God. And Moses, he was a real wimp. You see, God said, Moses, I need you to lead my people out. And Moses was like, I can't. I have a stuttering problem. I can't. And he keeps giving God these excuses. And God finally says, well, take your brother Aaron. He's a good speaker. And so now Moses and Aaron are going before the Pharaoh. And Moses and Aaron lead the people out of Egypt across the Red Sea toward the promised land. And you see towards the end of the book of Exodus and into the beginning of Leviticus that God sets apart Aaron as the high priest. He says, Aaron, you're going to be the one who goes between me and the people. When the people sin, Aaron, you're going to offer these sacrifices to me. And through those sacrifices and through your work, the people then can have a connection with me. They can have forgiveness of sins, right? They can be perfect. They can be everything that I wanted them to be. And so long ago in Exodus and Leviticus, God establishes this order of priests in the line of Aaron. And ever since then, every high priest was a descendant of Aaron from the tribe of Levi. And what Hebrews 7, verse 11 is telling us is this. If you could have really gotten rid of your sins, if you really could have been the perfect dad, then we'd still be doing sacrifices today. We'd still be sacrificing animals today. We'd still be going to a temple, to a Jewish temple, and finding a priest in the order of Aaron and asking them to sacrifice an animal. But we don't do that anymore today. Why? Because what Hebrews 7:11 tells us is that there is a better way. There is a better way for the forgiveness of sins. And that is the message this morning, is this, that you and I, we are sinners. And when you sin, there is nothing that you can do to make up for it. There's nothing that you can do to get past it. There's nothing that you can do to become the perfect dad or the perfect mom or the perfect spouse or the perfect child or employee or human being, whatever you want to be. You can't do it because we are sinners. That's the message this morning, that we are sinners. But there's more to the message. If the Levitical system of sacrifice wasn't enough, then what? And in verse 11, it says, there was another priest to come in the order of Melchizedek. And we know that that person is Jesus. And why is Jesus so much better? Because Jesus is perfect. God looked. Actually, turn to chapter 8. Verse 7, for if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, that covenant of sacrificial system by the animals and the Levitical priest, if there was nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. You see, God, even though he gave the law to the Jewish people and said, this is how I want you to be perfect like I am perfect, even though God gave them this law and said, follow it, he found out that they couldn't do it. He found out that by no effort of their own could they ever come close to what God wanted them to be. You see, they were sinners. And as hard as they tried to overcome their sin, as hard as they tried to be perfect, there was no way they could ever do it. No way. You see, God found fault with them because they weren't perfect. And if you go now to verse 10, God says this in Hebrews 8, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will know me. From the least of them to the greatest. Verse 12, this is the key. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. I am a sinner. And what I realized as I was working out in the gym on Friday is that I am a sinner. And what I realize is that sometimes I sin as a father. And what I realize is that no amount of effort of my own will ever overcome that sin and make me the perfect father. And as I was thinking those thoughts in the gym, a song came into my head. We sung this song a few weeks ago. It's called Surrounded by the Upper Room. And in the middle of this song, I'm listening to my... listening to it on my headphones. In the middle of the song, there's this line that they keep repeating over and over. And the line is this: there's victory in Jesus' name. There's victory in Jesus' name. There's victory in Jesus' name. And then it changes. And she starts singing, there's victory in the third day. And that line ruined me in the gym. Here I am surrounded by a bunch of strong, manly men lifting large amounts of weights. And I'm listening to this line in my head saying there's victory in the third day. And that line ruined me. I was trying to hide it because I didn't want people to see me. Because I'm tearing up in the middle of the gym. Thinking of how imperfect I am. Thinking about how I am a sinner. And thinking of how I have always tried to take care of my sin on my own. Have you done that? You know what I'm talking about? You ever bargained with God? You ever messed up and in order to clear your conscience and feel good and feel like you can move on to the next day, you make this deal with God like, hey, I'm going to go back to church, God. And then you go for like a week or two and then you never show up again, right? Or you say things like, I'm going to read my Bible more. Or you say things like, I'm going to be a nicer person. I'm going to be a better person. What does that mean? Everybody wants to be a better person. The problem is you can't. And that's what was going through my head as I was working out, and I realized what Hebrews 7 is telling me is that Jesus is the one priest who can take care of my sins. Amen? Jesus, you didn't hear me, is the one priest who can take care of my sins. Amen? You see, it's not by human effort. It's not by me sacrificing an animal. It is not based on my effort, because if it was based on my effort, there was no need for Jesus. But Jesus came. Why? Because I can't do it. And that's why there is victory in Jesus' name. That's why there is victory in the third day when he rose from the grave and he left behind sin and he left behind my sin and he left behind my inability to be the perfect dad. And he said, Bobby, he didn't call me Bonnie. He said, Bobby, I'm going to offer you something, but you can only attain it through me, and that's forgiveness. Do you want it? And I said, yes, Lord. In the gym that day, I said, yes, Lord, I want that forgiveness. See, I've been trying so long on my own to be the perfect dad, and I can't. But through Jesus, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You see, Jesus had to be a priest that was different from the line of Aaron. Why? Because Aaron is a human being. Go to Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3. What is so different about this Melchizedek, and why does it make Jesus so different? Verse 1 of Hebrews 7, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. This is recapping Genesis 14. First, his name means king of righteousness. And also king of Salem means king of peace. without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Remember I said Melchizedek is this international man of mystery who appears in the Bible and then disappears? Well, there's a reason for that. Because he was a prototype. He was a shadowing of Jesus who would come. And Jesus also knew no boundaries. Jesus also had no beginning and no end. And just as Melchizedek appears in the scripture and then disappears without any comprehension, Jesus is in the same way. He's a priest in the order of Melchizedek. He is without beginning. He is without end. He is perfect. Perfect. And the reason you and I can experience forgiveness of sins is in Hebrews 7, verse 26. Today's message is about the forgiveness of your sins. The ability to move forward in the work that God has called you to. The ability to be the dad that God is calling you to. The mom that God is calling you to be. The person that God is calling you to be. Because sometimes our sin, it just destroys us, doesn't it? It traps us. But verse 26 of Hebrews 7, such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, the priest of Aaron, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But you see, the blood of animals was never intended to forgive you and I, for if it could, we'd still be sacrificing animals today. Instead, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that has been shed on the cross for you and I that is the forgiveness of sins. And this morning, if you are trying to live life on your own, if you are trying to overcome your sin, if you're trying to become a better person on your own, stop. There is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. His name is Jesus. And it is only through him that your sins are forgiven and that you move forward. It is only through Jesus. If you try to overcome sin, to clear your conscience, your guilty conscience of your sin, if you try any other way, you know what happens? Satan wins. Satan wins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the people of Corinth, and there's someone there who has sinned. And the Corinthians are withholding forgiveness from that person. And Paul says, when you withhold forgiveness, Satan has outwitted you. Satan wins. This morning, if you are not coming to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, if you are not coming to Jesus and saying, I need help, if you are trying to overcome your addiction, if you are trying to overcome your limits as a parent, if you're trying to overcome lust, pornography, if you are trying to overcome anything on your own power, I gotta tell you something. Satan has already won in your life today. Satan has already won in your life. The only way you move forward, the only way you find forgiveness is through Jesus, the high priest, in the order of Melchizedek by his shed blood. And that's why Jesus is hope for every generation, right? That's why. Because every generation is a generation of sinners. But you can find forgiveness. You can find forgiveness and move forward. I gotta tell you, after I blew it as a dad, that just ate me up. It just sat with me and sat with me, and I tried to figure out a way where I could be a better person, and it kept eating me up. And until I realized that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus, until I figured that out, Satan was winning in my heart and my life. And that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to tell us about Jesus, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is no way for you this morning to move forward past your sin, to find forgiveness of sins, to clear your guilty conscience of sin, than through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, because he's the only priest that could do it. And way back when, in Genesis 14, when Melchizedek jumped onto the scene, and in Psalm 110, when David sung about, they were all pointing to this part in Hebrews where the author was going to say, it is only by the blood of Jesus that today you are forgiven. Turn to Hebrews 12, and we're going to close out with this. This morning, we are all sinners. The author of Hebrews was writing to people who were in a crisis of faith. Their faith was on shaky ground. And one of those reasons was because they misunderstood forgiveness. They thought they could be forgiven by going back and offering sacrifices and trying to be a better person. You can't be forgiven that way. You can only be forgiven by Jesus. And in Hebrews 12, verse 28, it says this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The Hebrews were going through a turbulent time and their faith was shaken. And the author of Hebrews is trying to clear up this misunderstanding of forgiveness of sin. And he was telling them, you can't forgive your sins. You can't get past your sins on your own effort. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, that is the firm foundation that will never be shaken. Are you a sinner this morning? Is there something that is eating you up right now? Is there something that you wish you could just get past? And when you think about it, you begin to believe that you are a worthless person. You begin to believe that there's no hope for you. If you are that person this morning, there is hope in Jesus, because he is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And that is the foundation that you should build your life upon. That forgiveness comes through Jesus and through nothing else. That is the foundation of your life today. That is the foundation of your life today. That is what it means for Jesus to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. That there is always forgiveness of sins for you because of Jesus. Turn back to Hebrews 10, verse 39. I'm going to close with this. After saying all these things, the author of Hebrews is now writing to them a challenge, saying, don't throw away your confidence in Jesus. But in verse 39, he says this, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. To shrink back means to step away from the forgiveness that is offered through Jesus Christ. If you want to find forgiveness, if you want to deal with your sin in some other way, go ahead. But the author is saying, if you try that, it will destroy you. But instead he says this, we are of those who believe in Jesus and are saved. This morning, we are sinners, and you can deal with it in one of two ways. You can try it on your own and be destroyed, or you can go through the blood of Jesus, the priest in the order of Melchizedek, and find salvation and find freedom and find perfection. But it's only through Jesus. We're going to celebrate communion right now. How fitting, right? That we're going to celebrate communion and remember what Jesus did on the cross after we just spent an entire sermon talking about forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus was meeting with his disciples and describing to them what was going to happen, he had this last meal. And in this last meal, he wanted to remind them, give them some tangible way to remember what he had done. So I see the ushers are getting ready. Band, if you need to come up, come on up. Jesus is having a meal with them, and he's reminding them of what he's about to do. And he says, you know what? We're going to have this meal, and in this meal, we're going to have some bread, and we're going to have a cup. And this bread and this cup are going to symbolize me and what I'm about to do for you on the cross and what you could never do on your own, which is attain the forgiveness of sins. And so as we come to communion this morning, remember that it is through Jesus that you are forgiven, not of yourself. Bring all your sins this morning to Jesus. Stop hiding them. please admit them this morning to Jesus, because when you do that, you find forgiveness of sins. When you do that, you find the ability to move forward in your life. But if you don't, you are destroyed. Ushers, will you come forward and distribute the bread, please? This morning we're coming to the communion table, hopefully realizing that we are sinners. Realizing that the only sacrifice that God found worthy was the sacrifice of his own son, the breaking in his body. And in Mark chapter 14, Jesus says this: while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Will you take the bread this morning? Ushers, when you're ready, you can bring forward the cup. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, and they drank from it. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." The new covenant. See, in Hebrews, they were thinking of the old one, where they made sacrifices for God. When in reality, the new covenant, the better covenant, the only covenant to move forward with, is the one in which God's Son sacrificed himself. So this morning, as we take the cup, think of your sin and think of how Christ died on the cross for you. Let's take the cup together. Heavenly Father, we know that there is no other way for forgiveness of sins and through the Son, Jesus Christ, the High Priest. Lord, thank you that you have given us your Son. May we leave today not trying on our own efforts to be better people, but by clinging to the cross and receiving forgiveness through Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Enjoy your day.